This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everybody, let's get our heads right. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Lovely to be here with all of you. Those of you that are in the chat, those of you that are listening on your home stereo, your boombox, whatever, however you're consuming Ben and Woods.
Boombox.
Yeah, your boombox.
He's still in 80s mode,
I am still in 80s mode from Saturday night, for sure. Great to be here with you. Any way you listen, we just appreciate that you do, period. The end. So thank you for being here. You can watch us on YouTube. We have a lot of fun in there. The chat is always very lively and active. And James in the chat already. I mean, right out of the shoot, 601. I'd really like to see Ha-Sung Kim and Xander flip spots in the lineup. James, bro, we just started. It's 601 on a Monday morning. He's all business. I like it. I do like that. He's all business this morning, but we got to get lubed up first, right? We've got 3 days off, essentially, or 2 days off, and you got to get the pipes greased up and get lubed up and ready to go on a Monday morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. And speaking of Monday morning, don't think I've ever seen a more Monday morning tweet than this one from about an hour ago from your wife, Anna Nan Carol Woods.
Oh, my God.
It reads, "Hope springs eternal if you're our neighbor. That one day, when the Stephen Woods leaves for work every day at 4 a.m., he won't set off his car alarm and struggle to turn it off for 30 seconds while yelling, 'Sorry, sorry, sorry,' over the blaring, chirping, and honking. But today is not that day."
It's at least once a week. At least once a week.
Now, you live in a cul-de-sac with many houses. I had to pick you up 3 times last week.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
What's your problem?
A few, you guys have seen it. We go down after the show, like on a Friday. I'll go to open my car, and sorry, it happened Friday.
Yeah.
To Ben. I'm like, hang on, Ben's talking. I'm like, hang on, I got to turn this off. And then I'm like, what did you say? So you're talking,
which in the office parking lot at 10 a.m. not the worst thing in the world.
4 a.m. My neighbors right next, their bedroom window, I could spit and hit it. I could spit a loogie and
you know,
hit their
it
window.
Wakes everybody up. There's no way it doesn't.
I've got 2 little kids as well. I'm not trying to wake them up at 4 o'clock for my wife to deal with them at 4. So I don't. Something happened in the last, say, 6 months. Where used to, so I've got my keys here, okay, and I've got the fob. So how it works is, as long as the fob is anywhere in the general vicinity of the car, if the car is locked, I can walk up, I put my hand on the door, and I would open it.
Very futuristic.
And it unlocks. My wife actually taught me about that, because I didn't know that was the case. She goes, no, dummy, where's your keys? I go, they're in my backpack. She goes, watch, boop, and opens the door.
Mm-hmm.
No alarm. Then, literally, all of a sudden, one day, the
like
alarm.
I have a Toyota as well. You come up to the handle,
yeah,
and you can hear it
click,
unlock.
Click, yes. It doesn't beep or chirp or anything. It just goes click, click, and you open it up.
Yeah.
But for some reason, something got, switch got flipped or something to where even when the keys are on my person and I open it, so this morning, they happen to be in my right pocket.
Does the door open?
Yes.
Why is the door open?
It's a great question. I wish I knew.
If someone's trying to break in, fine, alert everybody, but leave the door locked then. Why would the door unlock yet still set the alarm off at the same time?
It's happened so many times, though, that it ultimately is it's on me. Now, if I walk out and do this.
Fool me once.
If I walk out.
Click the button.
Click the unlock button. Fine. No problem. The alarm doesn't go off. But I still get in that mode that it's in my pocket. I go up. Click, click. I open the door. So this morning, I had almost. No, it's worse. It's the.
It's worse than that one.
It's the honk.
Oh,
honk,
it's the honk.
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 Honk. Nope. Honk.
I know the honk one.
Honk.
Yeah.
And that's it. No. No.
Oh, he's got the whole cycle of alarms, though.
No. So for some reason, it switched. So
the honk one's the worst one.
The honk one's
actually.
The worst one by far. So I walk out, and I've got my backpack on, and this big old water jug in my right hand. My keys are buried deep in my right pocket. So I go, I open the door with my left hand. And here we go. The alarm starts going off. And I start fumbling, digging in my left pocket. They're not there, dummy. They're in your right pocket. So I have to dig them out. It was 30 seconds. Yep.
That's the one.
As loud as balls. That's it. 4 a.m., man.
It stresses me out just to hear it fake on the radio.
It's making me sweat thinking about it again. And I... here's the thing, too. I hate noise. I hate it.
Yeah, especially at 4 in the morning.
I hate it. I get pissed when the leaf blower guy is outside my window at 1 p.m. on a Friday. I'm so tired. The week is done.
So you're going, sorry.
No,
sorry.
No, no,
he's doing the whole
but
leaf
he's
blowing.
Right outside my window like this. And I'm just like. So I'm so sorry to my neighbors. They don't like me anyway. We're a loud house. We're a very loud house. In normal hours, though, you're never going to hear a peep from my house past 8 p.m. And I mean nothing. You're not going to hear a conversation. You're not going to hear another person over there. 8 p.m., 7 days a week.
Until like 1:30 a.m.
Until like 1:30. Yeah. When my wife's out working out in the garage. I'm very sorry.
And then you try to leave for work. And
so I'm to the point now. Do you know when...
You know what the rest of the world calls, 4 a.m.? Middle of the night.
Middle of the night. Have you guys ever done this? You've been at home, and the beep, beep, beep from your smoke alarm is going off.
Yes, and battery chirping.
Let's say you've put a battery in, and it still chirps. You ever just rip it out of the ceiling?
Oh, yeah.
I've done that at many apartments that I had over the years, many. You would walk into my old apartments, and there'd be 4 or 5 smoke detectors hanging from the ceiling or on the ground, because I've ripped them out.
I remember I came home one time, my wife had done that. She just ripped it right out of the wall.
You know what?
And I go, what happened here? And she goes, I'd rather die in a fire,
than listen to this thing chirp. Yeah. So I'm to the point now where the next time it happens, I'm going to reach my hand up under my car and just start ripping wires out. I don't know what to do.
Wesley in the chat makes the point that I've always thought, why have car alarms like that? Because not one person ever thinks your car is being stolen, just that you're a moron setting off your alarm.
Take the thing. Take it.
Like, even if your car was stolen, people would be, man, I heard your alarm going off last night. It's like, yeah, my car was stolen and no one did anything about it.
That's exactly right. I don't know what to do about it. I'm to the point now.
And they all sound the same, too.
Yeah, right. They all sound the same.
So if you're half asleep and your car alarm goes off because it's being stolen.
No one ever thinks, someone's car is being stolen when an alarm goes off. Never.
Honestly,
never.
No. I've never thought, oh, man, they got some criminals. I've thought maybe somebody's messing with something.
Did we have an earthquake?
Yeah.
Our kids running by. So, I mean, you think a million things before you actually think, oh, could the car be getting stolen right now?
I'm so sorry. I really am. And I just need to remember when I walk out, have my keys in my hand, and do the beep, beep, unlock it. I need to, like, make it a habit. I should hang them around my neck on a necklace, right? And then walk out and be like, don't forget, you idiot. The older I get, the worse I get at remembering things. It's terrible. It's terrible, terrible.
Like the kid who has their, like, lunch pinned to their...
It's lunch money. There's kids at Bo school that have to wear like bracelets to remind them of stuff. I'm reverting to like a 6-year-old. So I am so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry to my neighbor. I'm sorry to my wife. The panic I feel, it just starts your day off so wrong, pouring sweat. And of course, I think I saw out of the side of my eye a light go on. I just put my head down and I out of the driveway and down the street. Like, I please don't. Do I apologize if I see them?
I don't know. The last thing you want is to have a conversation at 4 a.m. about it. So
Lisa says, do I moonlight as a janitor? That's a lot of keys. Is it, though? I have more key chains than keys.
I really get your keys out. How many do you actually know what they... I only have like five.
I have four keys.
And I only have two of them actually do anything. I have no idea what the other two are for.
Got mail, house, and mail.
I have four keys. A car, two for a house, and one I have...
Why do you have two mail keys?
I don't know.
One's for a storage locker.
And then I have two gym fobs that don't get a whole hell of a lot of use. One for choose, one for the why. And then I've got this tag on there to find it in case I lose my keys because, well, I'm a moron, as we've established. But
you know what your problem is?
I'm a moron. I just said it.
You're feeble.
I'm very feeble. I'm getting more feeble. It's very indicative. It's very. It reminds me a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm when Larry is trying to make love to Lucy Liu, and he walks into a glass window, and J.B. Smooth goes, "Bro, that's out the window. You've now walked into a glass window in front of her,
and he spilled wine
on a couch,
on a white couch.
She's not having sex with you ever."
She goes, "Bro, the thought of sex has left her mind.
Yeah,
because she has watched you do two feeble things in a row."
Hannah this morning guaranteed was like, ugh. Like she's beyond repulsed. I'm out there. Not only is it going off, but I can't get it off. I can't turn it off. It's taken so long. So yeah, the older I get, the more feeble I become, I fear. But man, it's great to be here with you this morning and great to be away from my neighbors. Again, I'm very sorry if you're listening. I don't mean to wake you up at least once a week. It happens at least once a week.
Mostly a good weekend. Tier 1's got a win yesterday. Congratulations,
thank
you guys.
You
needed one of those.
Played our best game ever. We had a shutout. A shutout to adult ball is very rare. Nice. 11-0. And I will say this because I know that the other team is listening. They got mad at us.
Oh, boy.
They got mad at us. We might have broken an unwritten rule. It was not planned. This person acted alone, but I defend stealing a bag up 10-0 in the seventh. I do. And that's what we did, and he came around to score a run to make it 11-0, which we won 11-0. And one of the guys was pissed and said, I guess, I didn't hear it, but he said, I'm going to call in tomorrow and tell everybody how Bush League you are.
833-288-0973.
I will make this point. It was made in the dugout. We're actually in a Bush League. So that's my evidence number one that we're okay. Yes. Number two,
the defense checks out.
The tier ones can give up 11 runs in the blink of an eye. You have never seen defense like we exhibit.
It's different if you're going to bring Robert Suarez in the ninth inning and you've got a 10-run lead. You probably don't need to
add on there.
Maybe in adult league ball, that 11th run might be
Robert
the difference.
Suarez.
Well, Joey's pretty close. He's the closest we got to a Robert Suarez. He's really good.
He did shut the door.
He shut the door. I'm sorry. And to all the other teams, you're never out of it against us. You never are out of it. You flare a couple in. You hit the ball on the ground. You have a chance to win the ball game. So I'm sorry. I'm glad Jameson ran. I'm glad he made it. And I'm glad he scored a run. We were not trying to be Bush League. And it was nice because the guy that we beat yesterday, he's the one that two-hit us the last time we played him. So it was nice to get that back. We donated $100 to the Peter Seidler Fund. It was good to get back in the win column. A really fun day playing baseball. So thanks for playing. And to those that came out, it was good to see you.
I went to two Padres games, including yesterday. We were all at the game in the suite. It was the biggest fan contest winner game. I always like to remind everybody, someone does win when we have big contests like that, and brought out a big crew, and all of the fan hosts were there, and we got to enjoy. It seemed like everyone was having a really good time in the Odyssey Suite yesterday. I hope we get a chance to do that contest again at some point. That was,
a pretty good job on this show of letting everybody know, or you can at least tell on your own pretty easily whether it's one of those national contests. Hey, you know, enter to possibly win $10 million or a cruise or something like that. Like, take on Woods, you literally have like a 1 in 5, 1 in 6 chance, however many people qualify on our show in the mornings over the course of the month, you have that many chances to win.
Yeah, that's a good point, Paulie.
And the biggest fan was another one.
Yeah, a little radio dirty secret, which I'll share, and I'm sure our company does it as well. But
I've heard it before.
If you hear any company, as you said, Paulie, giving away a chance to win like $100,000, or they're giving away $1,000 an hour, there's no radio station in America that can afford to give out that kind of money. So what they do is you have a radio station that owns like 600 radio stations, and then one winner out of all those, you know, millions of people listening gets to win that every hour means, yes, you have a chance, but it's a very small, it's like lotto ticket chance of winning, which is fine. I mean, you do, you know, enter if you want, and that's okay. But if you're counting on, ooh, I'm listening to this station and they're giving away $1,000, they're not. Well, we're not giving $1,000, but we did really give out a suite at the Padres game, and it was really fun, and we had a good time yesterday.
Yeah, we are a local, we are a national company, but we are a local show and a local station. Mm-hmm. And to see that suite packed with 20 locals, by the way, that were so, they said, this is amazing. It's our first time in a suite. They didn't even want to get up from their seats. They were like, if I get up, I'm going to lose this seat. Right. So we just waved and said hello, and it was really cool to be out there. And also, always good to hang with the crew that we never really get to see a lot because we work morning. So it was really fun, a fun day.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we'll set the menu. I saw someone calling in. I don't know if you're going to try to get lit up for your stealing a base. Someone was calling in a second ago.
Please, if
they want to call
in, them.
Go ahead, 833-288-0973. We'll let you know what we have coming up on the show on a Monday morning. Obviously, lots of Padres talk ahead. It is Monday. It is Earth Day. Happy Earth Day to everybody out there. Be good to
like
your planet.
Earth's birthday?
It's like
happy birthday, Earth.
Pretty sure, yeah. It's what, a couple hundred years old by now, at least
something like that.
We will set the menu when we come back. First, a check of traffic with Kelly Danick, and off and running on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. It's Ben Woods. Woods made the point when we got here this morning that it's a different feel thanks to the Padres winning yesterday, as opposed to. Well, obviously, getting swept, it's a really bad mood when we all get up on a Monday. But they had a lot of series last year where they like win on Friday, and then they'd lose on Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday was probably one of those one-run heartbreaker type of games. Yep. And we'd come in and all feel crummy on Monday morning. Now, losing 2 out of 3 is 2 out of 3.
That's exactly right. It
doesn't really change the equation in terms of, you know, how successful the series was, yet winning on Sunday after you lost on Friday and Saturday, at least for Monday morning radio hosts, feels just a little bit better.
Yeah, the vibes of, oh, man, nice to salvage one, certainly feels better than, you know, winning in a blowout on Friday night and then dropping those two. So, yeah, at the end of the day, the number is the exact same. They won one and lost two. It was not a successful homestand by any stretch of the imagination, but at least you feel like, hey, we're back on the right track with a dub yesterday, and I thought it was an important one to get, and I thought it was a really important one to get, Benny, with Joe Musgrove on the mound. So
we'll talk about, yeah, we'll have our wrap-up of all the highlights of yesterday's game coming up here at 6:35. Already had a sporting event completed this morning. Might as well throw that out there. Congratulations once again. Scottie Scheffler adds another jacket to his wardrobe today. Won the green jacket, of course, last week. Today he wins the tartan jacket as the winner of the RBC Heritage. It was rain delayed, and they came back. He had a 5-shot lead with 3 holes to play. No one was going to catch him. They did not. He has now won 4 of his last 5 tournaments. And that one that he didn't win, he finished 2nd.
Yeah, pretty good.
He is on
a run.
Tiger-esque insane streak right now. And I saw a stat this morning that Scottie Scheffler has played so well this year, and he's won so much money because he's won a major. He's won the Players. He's won 2 elevated events. So the richest prize purses have pretty much all gone to Scottie Scheffler. His caddy would be in the top 40 on the money list on the PGA
Good
Tour just
Lord.
By making about 10% of any win, which is usually standard on the PGA Tour. That's how good Scottie Scheffler has played. He's like Tiger Woods, so he gets a win this morning.
He's not even the best golfer in the world right now.
Not the hottest golfer.
That belongs, I mean, hot is, she's also very hot. Nelly Korda is beautiful and has one of the best golf swings you've ever seen, and she's won 5 straight tournaments, Benjamin.
Yep, including a major yesterday at the Chevron Championship. No one has done that since Annika Sorenstam and Nancy Lopez, 5 consecutive wins. That's very Tiger-like as well. So
I have a huge, huge crush on Nelly Korda, by the way.
Peter Korda's daughter, remember him? Professional tennis player?
I don't.
You don't? Mm-mm. And her sister is also a player as well on the LPGA Tour.
She can swing it.
She has got a very smooth, good tempo.
Great tempo.
Really nice tempo.
Freddie Couples tempo.
All right, we'll go through all the weekend games for the Padres. 7 o'clock hour, we'll play a little take on Woods. Chance to qualify for the trip to Las Vegas last week of the month. Get in if you haven't yet and take on Woods in our musical trivia challenge at around 7:10 this morning. Don't do this at 7:20. And then in the second half of the program, we've got Sammy Levitt joining us. Ran into Sammy at the game yesterday, as he was hosting all weekend long from the Western Metal Supply Company up in the loft, as he does. He's a very popular guy around Petco Park.
He is.
I'm happy for Sam.
I am too. He is such a legend, man. Love him.
And then we're going to do a ticket giveaway in our 9 o'clock hour. We've got Parker McCollum tickets coming to Calco's Credit Union Open Air Theater on October 25th. We'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour with the Rindle Report and more, and that's pretty much what the Monday program looks like today.
Should be a fun one, actually. Should be a really, really fun show. You guys are going to want to stick around. Mostly, we'll have a little surprise at 8 that you guys will want to hear about. Ben has no idea what we're going to be talking about at all. He's very nervous.
We had to kick him out of the studio.
Yeah, and he gets
very nervous.
He goes, "Oh, it's Monday. Come on." I go, "Don't worry about it."
Do I have to wear the GIMP mask?
No.
Okay.
No,
good.
You don't. You literally don't have to do anything. You just sit there. And that's all you have to do. Okay.
I appreciate that.
Nothing to be super nervous about. You know, I'm not going to throw ham at you or anything or paintball you to death in here.
Ham's not the worst thing.
Not yet.
Honey baked.
I like ham.
Ham's all right.
It's so funny how this show has permeated people's, the way that they talk. We were in the dugout yesterday and somebody would get a big knock and you'd hear somebody down the bench go, "I like big hits." I mean, it's just your likes have taken the city by storm.
I appreciate that because I think liking things is a good mindset.
It is.
You know what? I may like a few too many things.
You do.
I get that. But it's better than the alternative if you always think you're going to hate everything.
Right.
Like, be open to liking stuff.
Be open to liking stuff, yeah.
And that's how I approach it.
Yeah, like, you and Mike Schilt. It's uncanny, actually.
Mike Schilt is a very, I don't know if it's his true personality or if it's part of his managerial style, but he's definitely been a lot more positive maybe than I even expected him to be.
I love that.
As a veteran manager, older school guy, he is very quick to point out the positives, even after losses.
He literally held up his bottle of water yesterday and sipped from it and said, "My bottle's half full." I mean, it's like, that's his whole thing. And I look, if you lose 5, 6, 7 in a row, it's going to drive people crazy. They get mad as hell at you when you try to pull the positives out.
But my glass is more than half full.
Yeah. I think with Schilt, like, you have to get used to it because that's what he is. That's what he's going to be. Even if the guys lose 5 in a row, I don't think he's going to turn on this team. You did see some bad body language from our former skipper, who I love, Bob Melvin. I loved him. But you would see some visibly bad body language from that skipper many times last year. And you're already seeing it in San Francisco. Schilt's not going to give that to you, dude. I really don't think so.
I know we'll get to Saturday's game, but you saw some body language.
Yes, you did.
And some vulgar language.
Love it.
If you can read lips even a little
aggressive that, pointing.
Like full body movements. It was amazing.
I was at the game and I was sitting down the left field line, so I was pretty far away from the argument, but I was like, "Oh, wow." I thought he was going to throw a punch at the umpire, which you know you can't do. That gets you suspended, not for like a game or two, but for a long time. Really, really long time. So
yeah,
I knew he wasn't going to do that, but man, he was going after it. And we will talk about that when we discuss Saturday's game. But we'll get into the win yesterday. Padres take the series finale over the Toronto Blue Jays by a score of 6-3. Our Padres wrap up all the highlights with Jesse and Tony coming up next as we get into it. Coming up after a little break on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. What's baseball really like? You can join former Padre MLB All-Star Brett Boone and his big league friends on his podcast, The Boone Podcast, 3 days a week on the Odyssey app. Good stuff from Brett Boone. You'll also hear from him on our program On the Reg, but check it out on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Padres needed that one yesterday. By the way, Toronto Blue Jays seem like they're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a mirage. I know they've had, like the Padres, high expectations that they have failed to meet in recent seasons. But you look at the pitching staff. Their starters are...
The starters are good. Their bullpen's good. Trash.
Their bullpen is not good, but they've got a lineup with certainly some guys that can produce and hit some home runs.
And some of the randos are the ones that got us. You know, some of the random players. You know, you go into a series with Toronto and you're like, oh, crap, Vladdy got us, or George Springer got us, or Bo Bichette got us. Fine. But some of the guys that we were sitting in the box yesterday going, who are these guys? I've never heard of this guy before.
No, but defensively, they were sharp for the first two games of the series. It changed a little bit yesterday, and that helped the Padres get out to a 1-0 lead. We will get through the highlights in our Padres wrap-up coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage.
3-2, runner goes, and a line drive into right field, base hit. Cronenworth going to go first to third with ease. Now it gets behind Springer, and Jake's going to come in and score. Machado's at second, heading to third. Springer sends it back in, and thanks to some sloppy defense by the Blue Jays, the Padres strike first. It's 1-0. 2-1 pitch is skied down the right field line. Long run, Fernando into foul territory, and he slides to make the catch. Going to hang a star for Fernando Tatis Jr. What a play in foul ground down the right field line. Had a long way to go, had to change speeds a couple of times. He got there, slid feet first, and made the play. Now he claps back for the fans, and two down here in the second inning. To Davis Schneider, who sends one in the air to very deep left field. Profar is going back at the wall, looking up, going to go. Davis Schneider with his third home run of the year, and a game-tying solo shot here in the second inning. It's 1-1. 1-2, hit in the air to deep left field, got a hold of it, headed towards the Western Metal Building, and a home run into the lower level balcony. So Clement able to straighten it out. It's his second home run of the season, and now the Blue Jays in front. It's 2-1 in the third. One out, nobody on. 1-2 to Bogarts. Bassett deals. Xander hits it in the air to deep left center. Varsho's going back. He's at the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go! Xander Bogarts is second of the year. And the Padres have tied it back up. 2-2 here in the third. The pitch to Campusano is low ball four. Third walk of the inning. This one will bring a run home. And the Padres back in front. It's 3-2. 2-2. Schneider hits a ground ball slowly to short. Kim charges. Has it. Throws to first in time. Turner comes in to score. An RBI ground out for Schneider. Now a 4-3 game here in the seventh. Springer hits this one out to deep right center field. Long run Tatis reaches up and he makes the catch. Gonna hang a star for Fernando for the second time this afternoon. And this play will end the top of the eighth inning. A running grab in the gap to cap a 1-2-3. Top of the eighth for Wandy Peralta. Bases loaded, one out. 4-3 pods in the eighth. Here's the 3-1. Bogarts takes low and outside. Ball four, another walk. And now a 5-3 Padre lead as Kim comes in to score. Tatis swings, hits it in the air to deep left field. Schneider's going back. He's on the warning track, feeling for the wall. He makes the catch. Landy deep to get Campusano home. Throw goes into third. A sack fly for Tatis. Just missed the grand slam. And the Padres now lead it 6-3. Suarez is ready. Long pause. Here's the pitch. And a ground ball slowly to the left side. Rosario to his left has it. Goes to second one. Bogarts to first. In time. And a double play to end the game. Blue Jays have their hands up in the dugout. It was bang, bang at first base. I mean, if you're Toronto, you may as well challenge it, although they may not want to sit around.
I think it's going to be unsuccessful.
They will not challenge. And that's it. Padres beat the Blue Jays 6-3 this afternoon.
You're always in a game if you pitch and play defense. You're always in a game. They're so vital. Joe Musgrove was tremendous. Controlled counts, both sides of the plate. Life on the fastball, good slider, good curveball. He was just in control the whole way. It was masterful.
Really, really nice from Joe Musgrove yesterday.
It was a star-driven win. Padres need their stars to perform. Xander Bogaerts, 2-for-4 with a home run. Fernando Tatis Jr., 2 phenomenal defensive plays and nearly a grand slam, a sacrifice fly. And Joe Musgrove going 7 innings and allowing 3 runs, not walking anybody. It's a great formula for the Padres to win, one they don't quite get often enough, but they got it yesterday in the 6-3 win over the Blue Jays.
Tried to give it away a couple different times. Jurickson Profar, I love him. He's a ball of energy, but you cannot get picked off second base in the first inning to absolutely murder a rally. You just can't. You can't get picked off there. There's no rhyme or reason for it. Tyler Wade, you cannot get doubled off. Forget how many outs there are later in the game. It was a great play. Second baseman made. Phenomenal play. But you need to be standing on the bag, Tyler Wade, because you're fast as lightning. You will score if it gets over his head. You don't need a jump to score. And even if you don't score and you only make it to third, you still have bases loaded with Crony coming up behind you. You got to smarten up on the base paths. You know, you have to clean up some of the messes and the mistakes. And the mistakes have costed this team this year. They cost them on Friday night, which we will get to certainly. But you did find a way to come back and scratch out some runs on a bases loaded walk, a catcher's interference, you know, a sack fly.
Well, like, it was the Blue Jays mistakes.
Blue Jays
yesterday
mistakes.
That was the difference.
Yeah.
The error, obviously, by Springer in the first inning was very obvious. But the walks, the catcher's interference.
Oh, they have 9 walks, 10 walks, something like that?
I had left the game and gone to Channel 10, and they scored the catcher's interference. Don didn't see it, so I got up and went to the bathroom and thought, okay, 3-2, they got the lead at least. I come back, they come back from commercial, because Xander made a quick out, I guess, after that, and it was 4-2, and I'm going, TV, they got the score
wrong.
They
got the score
wrong. 4-2,
right.
It's only 3-2. I saw it. The inning was over, went, came back, Blue Jays are up, it's 3-2, and they've got the scores 4-2. They're morons. Morons on television.
They was so happy.
And then I'm going, I better check this before I tweet something out. And then I thought, wait, hold on. It is 4-2. How did the Padres score while they were in the inning break? But yeah, the Blue Jays made some errors and mistakes yesterday. They walked too many batters.
They walked 6 and had a hit by a pitch.
I think the Padres walked 9 times in the game yesterday.
No, we walked 9 times.
Padres walked 9 times in the game yesterday.
Yeah.
And they had the 14 walk game last weekend against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So, you know, selectivity is very important to the Padres' success as well. Which of the two catches by Fernando Tatis Jr. did you think was better?
Damn, dude.
I feel like the one robbing George Springer in right center is going to get more play just because he's got that nice leap.
The Michael Jordan.
It's got the Michael Jordan.
Feet split, yeah. You know, it's 10 feet off the ground.
It's that logo, that silhouetted logo that works so well. I think the play in foul territory is actually
unreal.
The better
I think so
baseball
too.
Play.
The problem is if he doesn't catch either one of them, only one of them really hurts.
True.
Him.
Right.
And it was the one in the gap.
I didn't realize this and someone pointed it out. So that is the second, the original Tatis jump catch when he was in shortstop going into the outfield, leaping up, and the one that, you know, created the silhouette and the first image was against the Houston Astros. And the batter on that one was George Springer.
Yeah.
Wasn't it also on a Sunday in the military uniform?
I think it was. It's the second time that he's done that to George Springer, and Springer's reaction as he's going around
he's
first,
like, just kill
puts
me,
his
man.
Hands on
kill
his head
me.
Going, what is it with this guy? I cannot get the ball to fall in. Wherever he is on the diamond, I go to the left, I go to the right. He's always there robbing me and taking catches away. So really nice. We really saw the platinum glove on display yesterday from Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, big plays when you absolutely needed them, certainly. And yeah, just like you said, the stars doing star stuff. Again, Joe Musgrove, you will take a guy giving up 2 solo shots any day of the week. I mean, a solo home run does not hurt you. And Joe was able to get through 7 innings. And there was a point I almost tweeted when they got a little traffic going, hey, what is this, 1900? Go to the bullpen. You've got a bullpen. Use it here. There's no reason to try to get him through. Again, I know nothing. And Mike Schilt stuck with Joe Musgrove and got him through 7 innings. Wandy Peralta was effing brilliant. And Robert Suarez continues to be brilliant in the ninth. And Padres win, man. It was a great one.
One of those home runs, by the way, was a pitch so high and out of the zone. It's just, that's a fluke.
Yeah.
It just happened to get on top of one. Joe says, I throw that pitch 10 out of 10 times.
No question,
I mean, that's
about it.
Up and in, out of the zone, against a guy at the bottom of the order. You know, baseball's weird. Sometimes that happens. That wasn't a mistake by Joe. I think maybe the most important aspect of the game yesterday, and we'll see if it carries over, is Xander Bogaerts getting a couple of hits, including his second home run of the season. And it happened, Woods, after he made a quick adjustment. And I wrote about it in the UT this morning about going in and looking at film and making an adjustment between a higher leg kick and a toe tap. But if you even watch the at-bat, he kind of adjusts in the middle of the at-bat and goes to, like, he's trying to think it through.
Bro, that's when you know you're dying.
Yeah,
it's when when you are trying new things in the middle of an AB, you're looking, you're searching, man, and it happens. But, you know, they kept Don made the point, Jesse's made the point, Tony Gwynn Jr.'s made the point. You know, guys that know what they're talking about have made the point. He's done it for a long time. They trust him to figure it out. I will be honest with you, I am massively surprised that he stayed in the leadoff spot for all three games. I really am. I was surprised when it came out on Friday. I was surprised when it came out on Saturday, and I was surprised when it came out on Sunday. I don't know who makes that call.
We've been told who makes the call. We've been told that Mike Schilt fills out the lineup.
Well, no, we've been told it's
holistic, but I mean, we've been basically told, you know, that the lineup is the purview of the coaching staff.
In a holistic setting where everyone is discussing what the lineup
is. Right, that's true.
So, like, you know, ultimately, if you were the manager, and in good conscience, the guy that is making the weakest contact of anybody in your starting nine, honestly, why would you continue to roll that guy out there? And I understand Schilt has told us before he trusts veterans. He trusts Xander to do it. I was surprised. Now, he did end up coming through yesterday, and that's great. We need that from him. We had to have it. We had to have it. I will say this. That is, Xander is a very likable dude. And I loved so much, if you missed it, the appearance he did with Mudd and Don after the game. Don knows Xander and has known Xander for many, many years. And Don says to him, hey, you know, you've been through slumps before. And Xander goes, I have. I've been through way worse slumps than this. He goes, well, how do you feel? He goes, well, my body actually feels really good because I haven't really been doing anything. So my body feels fresh. That, to me, I went, okay.
A little self-deprecation,
a little bit, I own this, I have not been great. Honestly, man, I think that's what fans, sports, we just want accountability at the end of the day.
And that is in counterpoint to Eric Hosmer.
Correct.
Who, again, I'm not trying to just bag on Eric Hosmer
here. But he's such a good example.
He was a veteran star player who went through his struggles. But you never felt like he had that same, like Xander did, like he could point it out, like he could talk about it, like he could say, I understand I'm playing terribly right now. It always felt like, no, this is me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's like, no, you're not.
Dude,
you're not.
He's doing it now on Twitter. The other day he tweeted something to the effect of, no, I was too busy rolling over to second base in my time in San Diego. And I'm like, where was this, man? Like, everyone would have given you a pass, you know, as we learned over the weekend.
I mean, both he and Xander, big contracts, you know, very hard to live up to a giant contract, even if you are a star player. We understand that. I don't know that players sometimes give fans enough credit. I know there are some fans that are not savvy, but I think a lot of fans understand that it's a tough game. And there's going to be struggles, and they just want to see some humility and just
self-deprecation
occasionally. And then they'll cheer for you. They'll root for you to turn it around. But when they feel like there's arrogance and
I'm not changing.
Yeah, and lack of accountability, you're gonna really frustrate the fans, and they're not gonna be on your side. I hope fans stay on Xander's side here, because I can tell, like you can, that he wants to do well. He's trying to make changes. He understands he's struggling. He's not putting his head in the sand and going, everything's fine, everything's fine. He's working to try to get out of it. And his track record does tell you that he will get out of it.
It does.
It's better than Eric Hosmer's even.
No question.
Tells you that he's going to get out of it at some point, and he's going to be a good player again.
Yeah, Kevin AC writes in his piece this morning, he's in virtually a constant chase for the right feel for his swing, especially when things aren't going well. It's a lot of different stuff. I'm not that guy. If it doesn't feel right, I'm going to stick with it. If it ain't it, it ain't it.
And we've got a little Mike Schilt talking about Xander Bogaerts as well from postgame yesterday.
I think he's pretty much there. You know, he came in two nights ago and just had a brief conversation with him. And it was just, he's, He's such a pro. He knows. He knows who he is. He knows what he's capable of. No one likes to struggle. But when you do struggle and you have a point of reference to be able to get yourself out of it and know, hey, I got this, and you got the ability to back it, and it's just about getting back to appreciating what you're doing well and having the right approach, which is what he has, you know that it's going to turn right around the corner.
They say you learn more about players when they're not going well. What'd you learn about him for that 2-3 week span?
I couldn't agree more. You know, who you are is what you do when you're...
What's baseball really like? You can join former Padre MLB All-Star Brett Boone and his big league friends on his podcast, The Boone Podcast, 3 days a week on the Odyssey app. Good stuff from Brett Boone. You also hear from him on our program, On the Reg, but check it out on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Padres needed that one yesterday. By the way, Toronto Blue Jays seem like they're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a mirage. I know they've had, like the Padres, high expectations that they have failed to meet in recent seasons. But you look at the pitching staff. Their starters are...
Their starters are good. Their bullpen is trash.
Their bullpen is not good, but they've got a lineup with certainly some guys that can produce and hit some home runs.
And some of them, the randos are the ones that got us. You know, some of the random players. You know, you go into a series with Toronto and you're like, oh, crap, Vladdy got us, or George Springer got us, or Bo Bichette got us. Fine. But some of the guys that we were sitting in the box yesterday going, who are these guys? I've never heard of this guy before.
No, but defensively, they were sharp for the first two games of the series. It changed a little bit yesterday, and that helped the Padres get out to a 1-0 lead. We will get through the highlights in our Padres wrap-up coming up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
3-2, runner goes, and a line drive into right field, base hit. Cronenworth going to go first to third with ease. Now it gets behind Springer, and Jake's going to come in and score. Machado's at second, heading to third. Springer sends it back in, and thanks to some sloppy defense by the Blue Jays, the Padres strike first. It's 1-0. 2-1 pitch is skied down the right field line. Long run, Fernando into foul territory, and he slides to make the catch. Going to hang a star for Fernando Tatis Jr. What a play in foul ground down the right field line. Had a long way to go, had to change speeds a couple of times. He got there, slid feet first, and made the play. Now he claps back for the fans, and two down here in the second inning. To Davis Schneider, who sends one in the air to very deep left field. Profar is going back at the wall, looking up, going to go. Davis Schneider with his third home run of the year, and a game-tying solo shot here in the second inning. It's 1-1. 1-2, hit in the air to deep left field, got a hold of it, headed towards the Western Metal Building, and a home run. Into the lower level balcony, so Clement able to straighten it out. It's his second home run of the season, and now the Blue Jays in front. It's 2-1 in the third. One out, nobody on. 1-2 to Bogarts. Bassett deals. Xander hits it in the air to deep left center. Varsho's going back. He's at the wall. Leaps up. Gonna go! Xander Bogarts is second of the year. And the Padres have tied it back up. 2-2 here in the third. The pitch to Campusano is low ball four. Third walk of the inning. This one will bring a run home. And the Padres back in front. It's 3-2. 2-2. Schneider hits a ground ball slowly to short. Kim charges. Has it. Throws to first in time. Turner comes in to score. An RBI ground out for Schneider. Now a 4-3 game here in the seventh. Springer hits this one out to deep right center field. Long run Tatis reaches up and he makes the catch. Gonna hang a star for Fernando for the second time this afternoon. And this play will end the top of the eighth inning. A running grab in the gap to cap a 1-2-3 top of the eighth for Wandy Peralta. Bases loaded, one out. 4-3 Pods in the eighth. Here's the 3-1. Bogarts takes low and outside. Ball four. Another walk. And now a 5-3 Padre lead as Kim comes in to score. Tatis swings, hits it in the air to deep left field. Snyder's going back. He's on the warning track, feeling for the wall. He makes the catch. Landy deep to get Camposano home. Throw goes into third. A sac fly for Tatis. Just missed the grand slam. And the Padres now lead it 6-3. Suarez is ready. Long pause. Here's the pitch. And a ground ball slowly to the left side. Rosario to his left has it. Goes to second one. Bogarts to first. In time. And a double play to end the game. Blue Jays have their hands up in the dugout. It was bang, bang at first base. I mean, if you're Toronto, you may as well challenge it, although they may not want to sit around.
I think it's going to be unsuccessful.
They will not challenge. And that's it. Padres beat the Blue Jays 6-3 this afternoon.
You're always in a game if you pitch and play defense. You're always in a game. They're so vital. Joe Musgrove was tremendous. Controlled counts, both sides of the plate. Life on the fastball, good slider, good curveball. He was just in control the whole way. It was masterful.
Really, really nice from Joe Musgrove yesterday.
It was a star-driven win. Padres need their stars to perform. Xander Bogaerts, 2-for-4 with a home run. Fernando Tatis Jr., 2 phenomenal defensive plays and nearly a grand slam, a sacrifice fly. And Joe Musgrove going 7 innings and allowing 3 runs, not walking anybody. It's a great formula for the Padres to win, one they don't quite get often enough, but they got it yesterday in the 6-3 win over the Blue Jays.
Tried to give it away a couple different times. Jurickson Profar, I love him. He's a ball of energy, but you cannot get picked off second base in the first inning to absolutely murder a rally. You just can't. You can't get picked off there. There's no rhyme or reason for it. Tyler Wade, you cannot get doubled off. Forget how many outs there are later in the game. It was a great play. Second baseman made. Phenomenal play. But you need to be standing on the bag, Tyler Wade, because you're fast as lightning. You will score if it gets over his head. You don't need a jump to score. And even if you don't score and you only make it to third, you still have bases loaded with Crony coming up behind you. You got to smarten up on the base paths. You know, you have to clean up some of the messes and the mistakes. And the mistakes have costed this team this year. They cost them on Friday night, which we will get to certainly. But you did find a way to come back and scratch out some runs on a bases-loaded walk, a catcher's interference, you know, a sack fly.
Well, like, it was the Blue Jays' mistakes.
Blue Jays'
yesterday
mistakes.
That was the difference.
Yeah.
The error, obviously, by Springer in the first inning was very obvious. But the walks, the catcher's interference.
Would they have 9 walks, 10 walks, something like that?
I had left the game and gone to Channel 10, and they scored the catcher's interference. Don didn't see it, so I got up and went to the bathroom and thought, okay, 3-2, they got the lead at least. I come back, they come back from commercial, because Xander made a quick out, I guess, after that, and it was 4-2, and I'm going, TV, they got the score
wrong.
It's only 3-2. I saw it. The inning was over, went, came back, Blue Jays are up, it's 3-2, and they've got the scores 4-2. They're morons. Morons on television.
They were so happy.
And then I'm going, I better check this before I tweet something out. And then I thought, wait, hold on. It is 4-2. How did the Padres score while they were in the inning break? But yeah, the Blue Jays made some errors and mistakes yesterday. They walked too many batters.
They walked 6 and had a hit by pitch.
And the Padres, I think the Padres walked 9 times in the game yesterday.
No, we walked 9 times.
Padres walked 9 times in the game yesterday. And they had the 14 walk game last weekend against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So, you know, selectivity is very important to the Padres' success as well. Which of the two catches by Fernando Tatis Jr. did you think was better?
Damn, dude.
I feel like the one robbing George Springer in right center is going to get more play just because he's got that nice leap.
The Michael Jordan.
It's got the Michael Jordan
split, you know, it's 10 feet off the ground.
It's that logo, that silhouetted logo that works so well. I think the play in foul territory is actually
unreal.
The better
I think so
baseball
too.
Play.
The problem is if he doesn't catch either one of them, only one of them really hurts.
True.
Him.
Right.
And it was the one in the gap.
I didn't realize this and someone pointed it out. So that is the original Tatis jump catch when he was in shortstop going into the outfield, leaping up, and the one that, you know, created the silhouette and the first image was against the Houston Astros. And the batter on that one was George Springer.
Yeah.
Wasn't it also on a Sunday in the military uniforms?
I think it was. It's the second time that he's done that to George Springer, and Springer's reaction as he's going around first,
like, just kill
puts
me,
his hands
man.
On
kill
his head
me.
Going, what is it with this guy? I cannot get the ball to fall in. Wherever he is on the diamond, I go to the left, I go to the right. He's always there robbing me and taking catches away. So really nice. We really saw the platinum glove on display yesterday from Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah, big plays when you absolutely needed them, certainly. And yeah, just like you said, the stars doing star stuff. Again, Joe Musgrove, you will take a guy giving up two solo shots any day of the week. I mean, a solo home run does not hurt you. And Joe was able to get through seven innings. And there was a point I almost tweeted when they got a little traffic going, hey, what is this, 1900? Go to the bullpen. You've got a bullpen. Use it here. There's no reason to try to get him through. Again, I know nothing. And Mike Schilt stuck with Joe Musgrove and got him through seven innings. Wandy Peralta was effing brilliant. And Robert Suarez continues to be brilliant in the ninth. And Padres win, man. It was a great one.
One of those home runs, by the way, was a pitch so high and out of the zone. It's just, that's a fluke. You just happened to get on top of one. Joe says, I throw that pitch 10 out of 10 times.
No question
that's
about it.
Up and in, out of the zone, against a guy at the bottom of the order. You know, baseball's weird. Sometimes that happens. That wasn't a mistake by Joe. I think maybe the most important aspect of the game yesterday, and we'll see if it carries over, is Xander Bogaerts getting a couple of hits, including his second home run of the season. And it happened, Woods, after he made a quick adjustment. And I wrote about it in the UT this morning about going in and looking at film and making an adjustment between a higher leg kick and a toe tap. But if you even watch the at-bat, he kind of adjusts in the middle of the at-bat and goes to, like, he's trying to think it through.
Bro, that's when you know you're dying.
Yeah,
it's when you are trying new things in the middle of an AB. You're looking. You're searching, man, and it happens. But, you know, they kept... Don made the point. Jesse's made the point. Tony Gwynn Jr.'s made the point. You know, guys that know what they're talking about have made the point. He's done it for a long time. They trust him to figure it out. I will be honest with you. I am massively surprised that he stayed in the leadoff spot for all three games. I really am. I was surprised when it came out on Friday. I was surprised when it came out on Saturday. And I was surprised when it came out on Sunday. I don't know who makes that call.
I mean, we've been told who makes the call. We've been told that Mike Schilt fills out the lineup.
Well, no, we've been told AJ has said he doesn't, though.
It's holistic, but I mean, we've been basically told, you know, that the lineup is the purview of the coaching staff.
In a holistic setting where everyone is discussing what the lineup is.
That's true.
So, like, you know, ultimately, if you were the manager and in good conscience, the guy that is making the far the weakest contact of anybody in your starting nine, honestly, why would you continue to roll that guy out there? And I understand Schilt has told us before he trusts veterans. He trusts Xander to do it. I was surprised. Now, he did end up coming through yesterday, and that's great. We need that from him. We had to have it. We had to have it. I will say this. That is, Xander is a very likable dude. And I loved so much, if you missed it, the appearance he did with Mud and Don after the game. Don knows Xander and has known Xander for many, many years. And Don says to him, hey, you know, you've been through slumps before. And Xander goes, I have. I've been through way worse slumps than this. He goes, well, how do you feel? He goes, well, my body actually feels really good because I haven't really been doing anything. So my body feels fresh. That, to me, I went, okay.
A little self-deprecation,
a little bit, I own this, I have not been great. Honestly, man, I think that's what fans, sports, we just want accountability at the end of the day.
And that is in counterpoint to Eric Hosmer.
Correct.
Who, again, I'm not trying to just bag on Eric Hosmer
but
here.
He's such a good example.
He was a veteran star player who went through his struggles. But you never felt like he had that same, like Xander did, like he could point it out, like he could talk about it, like he could say, I understand I'm playing terribly right now. It always felt like, no, this is me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's like, no, you're not.
Dude,
you're not.
He's doing it now on Twitter. The other day he tweeted something to the effect of, no, I was too busy rolling over to second base in my time in San Diego. And I'm like, where was this, man? Like, everyone would have given you a pass, you know, as we learned over the weekend.
I mean, both he and Xander, big contracts, you know, trying hard, very hard
World
to
Series
live up.
Champions.
Very hard to live up to a giant contract, even if you are a star player. We understand that. I don't know that players sometimes give fans enough credit. I know there are some fans that are not savvy, but I think a lot of fans understand that it's a tough game and there's going to be struggles, and they just want to see some, just some humility and just
self-deprecation.
Self-deprecation
goes,
occasionally.
It goes,
and then they'll cheer for you. They'll root for you to turn it around. But when they feel like it's, there's arrogance and,
and I'm not changing.
Yeah, and a lack of accountability. You're gonna really frustrate the fans, and they're not gonna be on your side. I hope fans stay on Xander's side here, because I can tell, like you can, that he wants to do well. He's trying to make changes. He understands he's struggling. He's not putting his head in the sand and going, everything's fine, everything's fine. He's working to try to get out of it. And his track record does tell you that he will get out of it.
It does.
And some better than Eric Hosmer's even.
No
question. Tells you that he's going to get out of it at some point, and he's going to be a good player again.
Yeah, Kevin AC writes in his piece this morning, he's in virtually a constant chase for the right feel for his swing, especially when things aren't going well. It's a lot of different stuff. I'm not that guy. If it doesn't feel right, I'm going to stick with it. If it ain't it, it ain't it.
And we've got a little Mike Shildt talking about Xander Bogaerts as well from postgame yesterday.
I think he's pretty much there. You know, he came in two nights ago and just had a brief conversation with him. And it was just, he's such a pro. He knows. He knows who he is. He knows what he's capable of. No one likes to struggle. But when you do struggle and you have a point of reference to be able to get yourself out of it and know, hey, I got this, and you got the ability to back it, and it's just about getting back to appreciating what you're doing well and having the right approach, which is what he has, you know, it's going to turn right around the corner.
They say you learn more about players when they're not going well. What'd you learn about him for that 2-3 week span?
I couldn't agree more. You know, who you are is what you do when you're at your least comfortable. And so you do find out about individuals. You find out about teams. That's why I believe in identity. That's why I believe in knowing who you are. Because when you have an ability to have a reference point of to go back to when you're successful, then you don't. The game's hard, and you're human, so you're going to stray, just like in life. All right. But if you know and you have an anchor to something, and you keep your attention to it, your focus, your time, your energy, and you spend that on what you need to do to get back to it instead of dwelling on all the other stuff that is out here that can rightfully wear you down, then you get yourself in a pretty good mind space to go compete in a very challenging game. Gives you your best opportunity, and the wrap-up point of that is Xavier Bogaerts knows what that looks like.
Xavier Bogaerts.
And also, is that a cricket?
I think it might be a cricket.
Xavier Bogaerts knows what that looks like.
The manager's interview room. Very hard to get those crickets out. We had one in our garage for like a month, and you cannot find them.
Light it on fire.
The entire house?
Yes. Gut it and start fresh.
So I did not see. It's the top of the hour. I did not see his first at-bat on Friday. Did people give him a standing ovation or not?
I was working.
Because there's a former athlete who says that's the wrong way to go. We're going to discuss that coming up in our 7 o'clock hour as it relates to Xander Bogaerts and others. Talk about the other games of the weekend. All coming up, take on Woods as well next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.